It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Jen Loeb is a mountain climber and humanitarian. She's the first Iowa woman to summit Mount Everest in 2016. She is also a seven-summit seeker trying to climb all seven of the highest peaks in the world. She has one left, Vinson Massive in Antarctica. She grew up in Jessup, Iowa, and now lives in Marengo. And she's just published a book, Shots from the Heart. And at a time when travel is impossible, her breathtaking photos can take us all around the world. She is with me on the line now. Hello, Jen.
Good morning, Charity. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. And tell me how you're coping right now. How are things in your life?
It's actually been pretty busy. I am working 7 days a week. So just trying to stick to a normal routine. In some ways, life has been different. Obviously it's difficult to get together with friends. That's not really a thing. So I've been involved in a lot of Zoom chats with my friends, just trying to keep each other sane.
Well, and I know that this year was supposed to be the culmination of your seven summits journey. So, but plans have had to change because of that. Tell me about that.
So I had already booked the expedition for Antarctica. I was supposed to leave in November. And then we were kind of monitoring things to make sure it was still going to happen and what's going on. The Everest season had been canceled this year. The Denali season had been canceled this year. We were kind of hoping that Antarctica was still going to be a go, since it wasn't going to be until November. And then, we had a conference call and the expedition ended up being postponed. So we will be leaving in 2021 for Antarctica. So, it's unfortunate that the expedition got postponed, but the nice thing about mountains is they're not going anywhere. It'll still be there next year.
The photographs in this book take us to the six summits that you have already climbed, plus many other mountains and other places around the world. Tell me about putting this collection together. What did you want to include?
So there's four chapters of the book. The first one is six of the seven summits, and then the second chapter is other peaks besides the seven summits. And then the third chapter I dedicated to just volunteering the work that I've done locally, nationally, and internationally, just different projects. Sometimes I was building a school, or sometimes I was, doing scientific data collecting in Brazil, or building a house in Cambodia. There's just so many different projects. It's a lot of variety, a little bit of everything. And then the fourth chapter is all about Iowa. It's just all photographs from Iowa. I was born and raised here. I've lived here my whole life. And I think Iowa kind of gets this bad rap as, a flyover state. It's not very pretty here. And I don't believe that at all. There's a reason why I stay. I think it's really beautiful here. And I wanted to put some pictures in there, and I want people just to appreciate the beauty that is Iowa.
Well, we are overlooked and underrated by a lot of people. I can imagine that maybe that's even truer in the mountain climbing community. Iowa is not a destination most dedicated mountain climbers consider.
Right. I show up on these expeditions, and everybody's kind of introducing themselves, where they're from, what they do. And they're like, "Oh, Jen, where are you from?" And I'm like, "Iowa." And they're like, "What?" and I'm like, no, it's really beautiful here. And just trust me on that. So that was why I put a chapter in there of just photographs from Iowa, because I wanted people to see just how beautiful it is here and how much I appreciate the beauty that is here. So yeah, it's interesting.
Remind us just very briefly how you fell in love with mountain climbing.
Well, I started out, I did some backpacking in my 20s, and, you know, that was fun and interesting, and I loved doing it. And I love the travel part of it. I love the physical part of it, and just, you know, spending time with friends in these beautiful locations. And I was kind of looking to just take it a step further. And I could see, you know, when I was backpacking, I could see people climbing as we were hiking past them. And I thought, wow, you know, it was intriguing to me. It was fascinating. I didn't know anything about climbing. And, you know, I was kind of wondering, like, how do you even climb a mountain? I have no idea. I don't have any gear, any training. You know, what does it take to climb a mountain? And I didn't even really know how to get into it. But I was doing a ton of volunteer work at that time with an organization called American Hiking Society, and where you partner with the National Park Service, and then you'll go out and help them build trails or do trail maintenance or remove invasive species. And so I was looking at another one of their projects, and they had a program where you could go out to Inyo National Forest, which is in California, and you would spend the entire week just fixing up existing hiking trails. And then on the last day would be a free day, and you could go climb Mount Whitney, which is the highest peak in the lower 48. And I thought, oh, okay, great. That sounds fun, because I would be with the park ranger, and so he knows what he's doing. I don't. So, you know, who better to climb with than somebody that knows where they're going and what they're doing? And so I went out there. This was 2010. And so I spent the week doing trail maintenance, and then on the last day, they're like, okay, who wants to climb to the summit of Mount Whitney? And, you know, I was like, oh, I do. And so, you know, we went up and did it, and it was a lot of fun. It was harder than I expected. And, you know, there were times when I was just like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm a farm girl from Iowa. Like, this is not where I should be. This is where I don't belong here. And then, you know, but it was fun, and I learned a lot. And so I got back home after that trip was over, and you kind of forget about the bad parts. You know, there's a saying in mountain climbing where they say the best mountain climbers have the shortest memories. And there's some truth to that, you know, because you kind of forget. It's a selective memory. You forget, like, the hard parts, the parts that were maybe uncomfortable or scary. And then you remember all the good parts, like how much fun it was and the views and the time spent with friends. And so when I got home after climbing Whitney, then I started looking into, like, what's the next step? I didn't even know. I still didn't have any training or any gear. So I got on the internet and started doing some research, and I found an expedition to Kilimanjaro. And I was interested in that one because it's not a technical climb. But it's a big jump up in altitude. So I thought, well, I'm not sure, you know, I've never been at that altitude, and I'm not sure if my body can tolerate it, but I'm going to go and try it. And if I can tolerate the altitude, then I know that this is something I can continue doing. And so I went over in 2011 and did Kilimanjaro. I didn't have any problems with the altitude, and had a lot of fun, made it to the top. And then once I got back to the States, and, you know, I thought, okay, I know physically I can do it, but I need to get some training. I need to get some gear. So I basically went to mountain climbing school. I signed up for a course, and I had to shop online for gear. You know, that's not gear that I can't get ice axes in Iowa. They're kind of hard to find. So I got online and did some shopping, bought a bunch of gear, and went out and did my training on Mount Rainier. And I had so much to learn. It was kind of overwhelming initially, just because I had so much There was so much I didn't even know how to do at all. And so it was a very basic course. And, you know, they just run you through and show you a lot and how to climb, how to travel on a glacier, how to stay healthy when you're living on a glacier. And so I passed that course, and that was a lot of fun. So then once I passed the course, that allowed me to start signing up for other expeditions for, you know, smaller peaks around the world. And so I started signing up for everything that I could afford and had the time for. And, you know, the more I did, the more it kind of, I was hooked, you know. Yeah. It was kind of pulling me in, and that became, you know, the singular focus of my life. And gradually, you know, the more peaks I climbed, you know, the difficulty increased, the altitude increased, and time was going by, and peaks are getting bigger and harder. And then, you know, I was climbing some really big peaks all over the world, and somebody made the suggestion. They're like, "Oh, Jen, you're ready to climb Everest." And I kind of laughed at them. Like, I thought they were joking with me. And so I kind of laughed it off, and I thought it was a joke. And then later on, I realized they were serious. And then it almost came as a little bit of a surprise to me. Like, Everest was never something that was actually on my radar. I was always under the assumption that Everest was for the elite professionals. And, you know, I never considered myself an elite or a professional climber. And so, but, you know, he kind of planted that seed, and I kind of started to really actually consider it. You know, and I started looking at all the logistics,
which are enormous. I mean, and you did summit Mount Everest in 2016. And I wonder if you can describe for us what I realize that the expedition size on all of these different mountains must be different. But what is a typical expedition like? It's not like you're out there on the mountain alone.
Oh, no. I'm part of a team. You know, there's what I did for Everest was I worked with an outfitter called Alpine Ascents International, and I had done quite a few trips with them guys already. So I trusted them, and I knew how they ran their operation, and I knew they were solid. So and they knew me because I had worked with them so many times. And so they knew what I had climbed, and they knew that I was qualified. You know, if you're not qualified, they're not going to accept your application. So they want to make sure that they're not taking on somebody that's, you know, not competent and not able to, you know, they want to make sure. It's because it's a liability for them, too. So, yeah, it's just, you know, a ton of work to put something together like that. Every expedition is kind of a ton of work. You know, there's, you know, logistics. You have to book your flights and get insurance and get visas and make sure you have the gear and then do all the training. And, you know, there's so many things going on. But when you actually get there, you know, there's kind of an itinerary that you will follow. And it takes a lot of flexibility because sometimes, you know, you can say, okay, today we're planning on climbing from base camp up to camp one, but then, you know, maybe the weather falls apart or maybe the route conditions are not, you know, safe enough. And so you'll wait, and, you know, you might have an expedition where you're waiting a day, or you might have an expedition waiting, you know, where you're waiting for like 5 days. It's really, you really have to kind of be flexible. There's a surprising amount of downtime. You know, you can climb for 3 days and then you'll have, you know, three rest days. And so you kind of make sure that you have books to read or magazines or newspapers. Or sometimes you'll just kind of walk around and chat with other climbers from all over the world. So, you know, there's, but when you're climbing, man, it's full on.
Yeah. So Jen, we're nearly out of time, but just very briefly, you share amazing photographs in this book. You also share some of your journal entries from the time spent on the mountains, so that that mountain climber's amnesia doesn't prevent you from remembering how very, very difficult a lot of these climbs were. What do you want people who spend time with this book to take away from the experience?
You know, it's just really a snapshot of all these different places and all these different experiences. And the journal entries kind of give people an intimate sneak peek into what it was like for me to climb Everest. You know, and it was actually kind of hard for me to actually go back and read these journal entries. But I want people just to see, you know, there's so many places that I want to go. And when you go to these places, you know, it's kind of full immersion, just different cultures, different food, different languages. But all these places are so beautiful. And you know, I go to all these places and I learn so much. But it always just kind of feels like I'm scratching the surface. And each time I go someplace, you know, I'm just kind of scratching this itch. And I always feel like, you know, the more I travel, the more I need to travel more. And so, because there's so much to see and there's so much to do, and I have so much to learn about all these different places, and each place is unique and beautiful in its own way. And so, you know, the photographs and the journal entries give people this view of what I saw and when I was there in all these different countries. And so, you know, it's just...
And really, right now, it's wonderful to be able to travel a little bit, even though we are all at home right now, or at least the majority of us are. And Jen, we're out of time, but I also want to mention that because of your concerns about food insecurity during this time, you've decided to donate 10% of the book and photograph proceeds from your website to Grow Johnson County. And people can find your website at iowaclimberjen.com. Jennifer Loeb, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Jen Loeb is a mountain climber and humanitarian. She lives in Marengo, Iowa. She has climbed 6 of the 7 highest peaks in the world and hopes to complete that mission in 2021. Her new photo book is called Shots from the Heart. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.